Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilaman Squamish-speaking people, who have been here since time immemorial, gathering and sharing stories and music and culture and all of that. And I am very honored and grateful to be able to do that in my own way here at CJSF in the place we now call Burnaby. I am Jesse, and I'm back. I was away for the past 3 weeks in Japan, and that was amazing, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to play a record that I found at a record store in Japan. You know what? Let's just start with that. I was going to leave it till later in the show because it ties in thematically with the segment where I chat with Volunteer Min about Japan, because he also went there earlier this year. I do want to jump into the main feature for today as well, which is a roundtable discussion that I did with four filmmakers from three films that are part of the 5th Annual Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival, which happens starting today, October 30th, through November 1st, Saturday, at The Culch in East Vancouver. So we will jump into that, but as we always do here on Speak Up, we're going to start with a little bit of local music, and this is local music that I picked up at a record store in Japan. I went to Jet Set Records in Kyoto and was shocked to find not one, but two separate 7-inch records by Vancouver artists. The first one was a record by Woolworm, which I already owned, and the other was a record by Weed, who at one point were my very, very favorite local Vancouver band. They might still be. They're just not a band anymore. I found the single for £1,000, which, according to the little liner note that I have translated from Japanese, is a pre-release of the latest album from this indie guitar pop band from Vancouver. This is the band's third vinyl single, cut from the full-length album Running Back, released on the same label, which is Lefse. Side A is an exhilarating melodic guitar pop track that is also featured on their latest album, Running Back. That's what we're going to hear. Side B is a completely different experience, with all instrumental tracks being experimental. Cool. Maybe we'll have time for that, but we're just going to get right into it. Right now, this is £1,000 by Weed from a record store in Japan.
Thank you.
no longer active local band Weed, picked up at a Kyoto record store, which was a wonderful coincidence. I'll have more on that in a bit, but now we're going to hear my roundtable discussion with four filmmakers who, as I mentioned, have works that are showing at this weekend's 5th Annual Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival, which goes October 30th to November 1st at The Culch in East Vancouver. You can get tickets at VBIFF25, Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival 25, VBIFF25.eventive, eventive.org, vibff25.eventive.org. I'll put a link to it on our website, cgsf.ca, as well. But for now, let's just get right into that discussion.
So my name is Marlo Brown. I'm originally from Barbados, and my film is based on the struggles and trials and tribulations of single mothers. I wanted to focus on that because not only am I a product of a single mother, but there's a negative connotation around single mothers, and I wanted to raise the stigma surrounding them.
And what's the name of the film?
Pardon me?
What's the name of the film?
Dear Single Mom.
Dear Single Mom?
Yeah.
And when does it play?
It plays on November 1st at 6:30 p.m.
And why do you think audience members should come view your film?
Because it's something that they couldn't relate to. There are a lot of single mothers in the province of BC.
Et tu ton nom est un petit peu au sujet du film.
D'accord. Donc je m'appelle Céline Bernabé. Donc je suis originaire de la Guadeloupe et de la Martinique, donc des îles caribéennes françaises. Et donc on a présenté notre film Je ne suis pas elle, je suis l'autre. I'm not her, I'm the other. Donc ça parle en fait de l'histoire d'une femme artiste qui a développé une maladie psychique suite à la mort de sa mère et qui se bat contre les freins de la société dans le but de récupérer la garde puisqu'elle lui a été enlevée suite à une décision judiciaire. Donc voilà, c'est un film qu'on a co-réalisé avec Kevin Macedo donc, et moi-même. Et donc on l'a fait de nos propres moyens puisque c'est en autoproduction. Et je suis également l'actrice principale et la scénariste du film.
Et pourquoi est-ce que les personnes devraient aller voir votre film?
Alors le but aussi, donc, c'est de pouvoir aussi sensibiliser aux maladies psychiques, c'est pouvoir ouvrir aussi des discussions, puisque par la suite, notre objectif, c'est de mettre en place des ciné-débats, on espère à l'international, pour justement susciter au niveau des consciences, pour ouvrir un peu le dialogue sur ces maladies dont on parle vraiment très peu aujourd'hui. Alors par le biais du cinéma, on espérait pouvoir développper le sujet et de manière poétique. Voilà.
Merci.
Yourself, your name, and again a little bit about the film.
My name is Kevin Macedo. I'm the cinematographer of I'm Not Her, I'm the Other. And I co-direct with Céline this film.
Can you tell us just a little bit about the film, what it's about?
I wish I could do it in English. It's a little bit hard, but it's the story of a woman, an artist woman, struggling with a mental illness following her mother's death. And she tries to overcome society judgment and obstacles caused by her health condition to regain custody of her daughter.
And why do you think that audience members should come see your film?
I think it's a strong story and emotional story. And we tell the story with a lot of poetry, and when you watch the film, you come really inside the illness through the story.
Great, thank you. introduce yourself and just a little bit about the film you're involved with. And the name of the film.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Marco Ashley Dixon, born and raised here in the heart of Vancouver, British Columbia. I've worked on various sets from 1987, have 3 degrees, cinematography, creative writing, and motion picture, along with performing arts. This story was all by the blast of a gentleman getting his balls sacked on the speed bump bus ride through False Creek. After that, when he said and called for, "Oh God," I answered back. Then he asked, "How do I save this from never happening again?" Memorize your bus route. Hold your back up one level and you'll never feel it. He said, "Oh God, thank you." After that, the chapters started rolling in, and there are 21 in total for the full book. This was the lucky one, being my grad project for getting my bachelor's in motion picture. My mom, Branka Mihailovic, wrote the music, and it is a story about God's analysis on us, how, "Oh my God," is way too much for him to handle. And another infection of the word to create anxiety called "Oh."
And what's the name of the film?
Oh, It Never Ends.
And when does it play?
It plays at 7:20, between the 6:30 to 9 p.m. time slot at the Colch Theater, Friday, October 31st.
Great, and why do you think audiences should come see your film?
The special thing about me is I'm epileptic, I have cerebral palsy, I've been pronounced dead 5 times, but I've worked in the industry all my life to show that it's not about someone controlling you, you've got to control yourself. And if you're unable to do that, you'll never find where you want to go. Everyone has had a hard time in life. I've had many. And it is the most difficult thing when your body is detached from your soul. And you've only got a few seconds to spare, deciding to stay up there or jump back and enjoy the ride.
Thank you. I want to ask each of you how you got involved with the Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival. So,
for me, I first met Lincoln in 2023 when I was a vendor at the Vancouver Black Bloc Party. And when he heard that I was a poet, he welcomed me to the first one in 2023 at the Colch. So I was very intrigued by that. At that time, I did have a short film, but it wasn't eligible for that at that time because we were still in production and there was a lot of confusion surrounding it. So I had written a lot of poetry since then, and we were in talks about discussing which film would be suitable for the Vancouver Black Independent Film Festivals and just for those festivals in the home. So we focused on this one, and I reached out to Lincoln late, actually, and he's just welcomed me with open arms since that. I have been doing a lot of work with him in the past. Through the Love James Poetry Showcase, I have been the poetry champion for the 2024 edition, so we had a connection overall.
Donc en fait, quand on a terminé notre film, on a décidé, avant effectivement de pouvoir le projeter dans le cadre de Destiné Débat, de postuler à des festivals. Donc c'est ce qu'on a fait. On a vu effectivement sur Internet la possibilité de le faire avec ce festival. Et ça nous a semblé vraiment logique de pouvoir postuler. Et puis voilà, c'est comme ça que ça s'est passé tout simplement. Et on est vraiment honoré d'avoir gagné le prix du meilleur film international. Donc voilà, et on est vraiment heureux d'être ici. C'est une chance. Vraiment, on est reconnaissant de ce qui se passe pour le film et pour la lumière qui est mise sur le message aussi qu'on veut transmettre. Voilà.
Parfait.
Merci.
Ah, en anglais.
After finish the film, we decided to submit our movie to film festival, and we saw the Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival because we make the film with our own budget, and we are so grateful to be select. And Céline and I, we didn't realize that we won. Canadian people love the film, and we are so grateful to be here in Vancouver.
Thank you.
What was the process of having the film selected to be part of it?
Well, Lincoln goes way back with me as my dad handled and managed fashion shows for a Dutch designer that we knew back in the 90s. He was the photographer for it, and I was the little baby of 4 years old, three, introducing and walking down the red carpet for all the ladies. Her name is Coco Hoeksema, and her style was Vuno Coco. Sold at Wreck Beach many years, and throughout all of her areas of business, I'm still connected with her. And by the luck of the draw, I saw Lincoln right on Broadway, told him to look at my website, because it's what everyone called me down at Wreck Beach, Naked Lenny, so at media.com. NakedThenMedia.com, you'll see the full page of the book and all my other stories included.
Great, thanks. The theme of the festival this year is Afrofuturism. What does that mean to you? And do you feel like your film connects with that theme in some way or another?
To me, it's a representation of how we are currently and how we will be viewed in the future. I think my film conveys the topic accurately because of the way that single mothers are viewed in the past, how they're viewed at present, and how they can be viewed in the future. We focus a lot on the African and, by extension, the Caribbean diaspora, and I think that is a fair blend of the two. I was glad to bring my culture from home to the city of Vancouver, and I think that, yes, my film accurately conveys that.
Thank you.
Alors, comment expliquer? En fait, ce que j'entends en fait dans l'afrofuturisme, c'est aussi ce qu'on imagine, qu'on perçoit en fait de l'avenir en lien avec les problématiques de notre société. Et c'est vrai qu'au niveau de la santé mentale, pouvoir développer des choses de manière, comment dire, aller au-delà, en fait, au-delà de des codes, c'est-à-dire que notre film, notre court-métrage, c'est un court-métrage immersif. On a un peu cassé en fait les codes, en tout cas ce qu'on a pu observer en Guadeloupe, en France, il y a des structures au niveau des courts-métrages. Nous, on a un peu cassé les choses, on a fait des séquences qui sont plus ou moins longues pour aller avec le rythme de la maladie. Et donc je me dis que quelque part avec notre film, on est allé au-delà de quelque chose qui est on a un peu devancé le futur, enfin on a un peu voilà on Et voilà, comme on est aussi, on représente aussi la population afro-caribéenne, je vois ce lien-là, en fait. Le fait de casser les codes pour aller de l'avant, pour je ne sais pas comment un peu expliquer, mais un peu, voilà, je ne sais pas si j'ai été un peu claire.
Je pense que...
Ok, d'accord, merci.
Et c'est un sujet compliqué, mais un petit peu en anglais, peut-être.
Un petit peu. So, like Céline said, with our film, we don't use traditional rules of cinema because we treat the story with poetry. So. Our movie talk more with emotion, mm-hmm. and we think we both some features with our style, and I think that's why people are touched by the story because it's unusual. And yes, it's one people story with one actress, and they don't see a lot of movie with this kind of thing.
Just one person.
Yeah. So you are deep in her life.
Thanks.
And for you, what does the concept of Afrofuturism mean? And do you think it connects with your story, your film?
Which one is it called?
In terms of Afrofuturism, my mom, she's from Belgrade, Serbia. My dad, right in the heart of town of Montego Bay. And being half Jamaican, half Serbian, it's all a part of me. Always been around many cultures, and growing up it was said to me in terms of being a filmmaker that it was sort of my destined choice. Growing up on seizures, I was attached to the television in the hospital. It was those things that kept me alive when being sedated on hard medications that really just hurt me a lot and destroyed some of my immune and digestive tract. As in terms of the Black independence, it's always going to be a part of me, and I'm always there for someone else. Everything that I've experienced has something to say. Like, in terms of, oh, then it's what now? What the fuck? Oh, or, oh, holy shit. Shut up. Why me? Is anything for certain? How do you solve it? And those are all fleshing in as I'm writing it right now to continue the visual experience of what just this little 9-minute has to say about everyone having to find some way back to their root point without calling for their imaginary friend who everyone claims to be God, but he's never right beside you when you need it. And you've got to have a critical mind to understand life.
Thank you.
The last thing I want to do is just ask if any of you have anything else you want to say about your film or that you think that people should know.
Okay, so I liked my fellow filmmakers here. We also didn't use a traditional sense of filmmaking. You know, again, I like the concept, and we also focus on having one set of actors as well. So in our film, you'll see the single mother with children and a person narrating the poem. I chose to be the person not actually reading the poem because I wanted to showcase Barbadian culture. So a lot of it you'll see using Barbadian structures from Bridgetown. You'll see several parts of Bridgetown. You'll see like the traditional stove, etc. Not giving too much away from the film. And it's actually the second time that I've done that. It started as a poem, you know, just honoring single mothers, and I used the same director as last time, who actually had the vision to convert it into what is now known as visual poetry. I'm extremely dependent on using imagery in my poetry, but he took the vision even further, where you can actually see it and see what we're talking about. So I'm extremely thankful for that, and extremely thankful that Lincoln gave us the opportunity to showcase that to the city of Vancouver.
Thank you.
Alors pour ajouter un peu, pour expliquer un peu au niveau de la création du film, c'est l'adaptation en fait d'une pièce de théâtre que j'ai créée et qui a été éditée en 2021. Et donc voilà, elle a été écrite de manière poétique, c'est pour ça qu'on retrouve toute la poésie dans le film. Puisqu'il y a aussi, des passages en vers, il y a des poèmes, etc. Et bon, ça c'était juste pour pouvoir compléter. On veut vraiment remercier le festival. Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival, de nous avoir donné cette opportunité d'être là, de pouvoir découvrir. Et on invite tout le monde à aller voir tous les films parce que je pense que c'est d'une richesse importante et il faut le faire vivre, ce festival. C'est important de saisir cette chance de pouvoir voir des films qui sont été sélectionnés à travers le monde. Donc merci encore, merci à Lincoln. Merci à toute l'équipe. On est vraiment reconnaissant, comme je disais. Et puis voilà, je crois que c'est tout. Je voulais rajouter en français.
Moi, en anglais, tu veux dire?
Non, mais oui. Bon, voilà, c'était tout.
Ouais, c'est merci.
Attends, je l'écris.
Et tu ne dois pas traduire s'il y a quelque chose que vous voulez dire aussi.
Can I try in in English? I'm not her, I'm the other, is an adaptation of my literary work, Cuckoo, a poetic play, written and published in 2021 in France. It's a 28-minute fictional film that tells the story of an artist who developed mental illness. This film aims to raise people awareness of mental illnesses of all kinds, combat prejudice, and create a connection with the viewers on a theme that is rarely, if ever, addressed in cinema, particularly in Caribbean. We poetically highlight the importance of love and kindness from those around us, as well as the possible repercussions of the illness on social and family life. As an artist and writer, it's important for me to engage with issues that universally affect our society, such as mental health in this specific case. Okay.
Who's the writer?
She's the writer.
You're the writer?
Yeah.
I'm inspired by that because I'm a poet as well. And what you mentioned, I have written on as well. Mental illnesses.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Mais il dit qu'il a déjà écrit sur ce sujet-là, en fait.
Anything you want to add?
No, she already done.
And then anything you want to add about yourself or your film?
I can add that all about seeing what it's like above us, what he all has to do. And for the height of it, I'll give the first three words. Was it the black hole? Was I the vortex? Because the infant is lost, vertically twisted from being lost within myself. And if all of it was done on green screen, there is no location. I grabbed the stock footage that just meant where he was going and landing all the way to the tree of life.
Mm. Very interesting. Well, thank you all. Merci.
Merci à vous.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the films. I live two blocks away from the Kulch, I'll be there this weekend.
Okay. That's great.
Thanks again to Céline Bernabé and Kevin Macedo, to Marco Ashley Dixon, and to Marlo Brown for joining me for that roundtable discussion about their films, which are all playing at the Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival starting tonight, October 30th, and running until Saturday, November 1st at the Kulch. You can go to vbiff25.eventive.org to buy tickets, or you can show up at the Kulch in East Vancouver and grab those tickets. Okay, now we are going to pivot to my conversation with Min about our respective trips to Japan and a little bit of talk about the Superman movie and Superman figurines, etc. We're not going to get the whole thing, but we'll hear most of it here. Hello, Min. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Nan?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just got back from my trip to Japan.
What have you been doing there?
Lots of things. Lots of touristy things.
You visited Tokyo first, right?
Yeah, I was in Tokyo and then in Sendai. And from Sendai, we went up to Yamagata and Zao Onsen. And then we went down to Kyoto and did a day trip to Osaka from there. And then we went up to a small town called Kinosaki Onsen, which is like a town with 6 different onsen in it. And then we went back to Tokyo for a few days. So big, long trip.
Right. Many cities you have been.
Yeah. Got a good taste, a good mix of the big cities and some smaller towns, and that's good.
Can you tell me what are some specific things that you really like in each city? What do you do in that impress you first in when you came to Tokyo?
Well, in Tokyo, when we got there, we stayed in Asakusa. So we were right near Sensoji, the big temple.
Was that place convenient to travel around?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like almost everywhere in Tokyo is pretty convenient to travel to. We were, a 5 to 10 minute walk from 2 different big subway stations, so it was easy to get wherever we wanted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was in Japan at the end of April and mm-hmm. to beginning of May for around 10 days in Tokyo, and I stayed at a hotel in Nippori Station, so very close by. Also around 5 minutes walking, and the train station actually connects to the airport. There's a train that go directly to the airport back and forth, so it's just so easy to take a train to travel around. It's usually just harder for people to go from the airport to their hotel. I pay quite a cheap price for my hotel too. I split the price with my friend. Mm-hmm. I pay around $50. And I think it's $50 a night, and I think it's include breakfast, and the room's just so spacious. We have twin bed. I don't know. I would say like a bed on top of a bed.
Bunk bed.
Bunk bed, yeah. We have that room for around 7 days. And we switched to a room where we sleep on the floor, like in the Japanese movies and TV show. Mm-hmm. What would you call that room?
Well, I know when we did that, we were staying at a ryokan, which is the sort of like a traditional inn, but yeah. Sort of like the tatami mats. And, yeah.
Just put a futon
mattress on the floor.
Yeah, and they just sleep on the floor. It's actually better to just stay in a room with a bunk bed, save more space. There's more space for us to go around and put our stuff in than in a room with a mattress, and it's just so hard to walk around, especially my friend when he went out to bars and came back late at night.
Yeah.
They have to just walk around, and I can hear his sound on his footstep when I was sleeping. And after that, our hotel is also close by to 7-Eleven and a street market. They sell a lot of the street food we can try, and there's also a restaurant or just a small coffee. I'm not really sure what they call it. Maybe just a small restaurant.
Like a cafe. Right.
Not exactly a cafe, because they serve you a lot of food, actually, even though it's not really a big scale. Generally, for people who stay in that hotel, and I come downstairs and talk with other travelers from many different countries, make some new friends, too. So, I just really like that hotel that I stay. It's called Sakura Hotel Nippori.
Nice.
What about your hotel? Do they also have that much accommodation?
We stayed in a few different, right, in the different places we stayed.
I know hotels in Tokyo, they're generally really expensive.
Yeah, I think ours was about $100 a night.
For two people?
For two people, yeah.
Yeah, I think about the same price.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a smaller room, but just one bed for my girlfriend and I to share, and, you know, like a shower and a toilet and a little desk. We spent most of our time out and about anyway, so the room just needed to be big enough for us to sleep in, and that was plenty.
Okay. 2 years ago, I also traveled to Japan with my family. That was our first trip, and we stayed in three different hotels. One of them is in Osaka, but the other two were in Tokyo, and they were just so small that we barely have the space to go around. And they also only have one bed, and it wasn't big enough for me, my mom, and my little brother, so I actually have to sleep on the floor for a few days.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a cafe downstairs too. Oh no, I think they have like a room, if I remember correctly, where we also have breakfast included in our booking, and they were a buffet, just a buffet every day. You can eat, and you eat whatever you want. But there's a time limit. They're going to clean up at 12 o'clock, maybe.
Oh, wow. So yeah, ours, one of the first hotel we stayed at in Tokyo had like a breakfast buffet, but it wasn't included. Like, we would have to pay for extra, it. Yeah. So we did that one morning just to sort of see what it was like. But most mornings we went out and got our own food. But also the breakfast closed at 9:30. So we had to be up very early if we were going to eat and be out of there in time. So most of the time we slept a little bit later, grabbed coffee, and then got breakfast somewhere out.
Most of the store that we visit, or maybe attractions, they open at around 12 o'clock until 8 o'clock. So kind of we wake up early and we go sleep late too. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we woke up late and then we're going to sleep late. And my best choice for breakfast would usually fit in 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
You gotta know that fits in 7-Eleven in Japan are very diverse and creative.
So much better than here.
So many choices, so many offers and recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, after I check in our hotels in both trips, I would go to Akihabara right away.
Yeah.
First, it's just famous for having all kind of nerdy merchandise, geek stuff you can find there.
I went into the Radio Akihabara.
Radio Kaikan.
Radio Kaikan, yeah.
That's a famous building too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find something unique there?
I found a couple things. Mostly, I found like a cool Godzilla toy for my nephew and a Anpan Man doll for my niece, a few little bits and pieces. But I'm not much of a figurine or action figure collector, so I didn't grab anything major for myself.
You know Anpan Man, though?
Yeah, well, so we visited my friend Satomi, who lives in Zao Onsen, and her daughter was obsessed with Anpan Man, and she told us all about him. So we figured we would try to get my niece hooked as well.
Yeah, for those listeners who don't know about this character, Anpan Man is some kind of Japanese mascot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also has a cartoon, but it's really old. And I only know it because it's quite a popular cultural icon in Japan. Not much in other countries, though. I just know about it because I watch plenty of anime.
Mm-hmm.
And his concept is supposed to be a superhero with Anpan is a Japanese kind of bread.
Yeah. It's like got a head that's
with,
a
with bread superpower.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
It's kind of silly.
But children like it.
Yeah.
So I also visit Radio Kaikan a few times, and I just found some of the new just anime action figures. Usually they're around $60.
Mm-hmm.
Just very rare, and maybe I just bought things when I can not really find any cheaper deals in other store.
Yeah.
In Tokyo, and I just usually I visit the Mandarake store. It's a very popular, famous secondhand store for merchandise too.
That's actually where I found Anpan Man, was in the Mandarake store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it was a few more minutes walking away from the Radio Kaikan building.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The building was right in front of the station, and I have to walk to Mandarake. Oh, did you find the shelf that I told you that they sell things for clearance price for just only $1 for one item?
I didn't see that at that location, but I went to another Mandarake somewhere. Maybe in Shinjuku?
They have a branch in Shibuya.
Maybe Shinjuku, it was Shibuya.
Ikebukuro and Nakano. That's all.
Probably Shibuya then. Anyway, but I did see that. And I looked through and didn't find anything that really...
Oh, okay. I just got most of them are probably items from also very popular Japanese franchise. It's a superhero series called Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you know about it.
Yeah,
the concept's usually some character who's supposed to be in the villain side, in the evil side, but choose to use their power to fight for the good side, and it's kind of a moral drama like that. Let's carry out the series, and the franchise is very popular in Asia, and I'm sure in every Asian country. I asked many friends from just Asian countries, and they all know Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they know what it's about. Yeah. Those items can be quite valuable if you bring over here and you sell them for sure.
Next time, I guess.
They don't bring. The companies doesn't. Bring their choice over here because publish them into Western country seem to be too much of a budget problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite hard to. But lately they actually trying to popularize more on their series and franchise. They're streaming some on YouTube. The latest one is also getting one new episode out every Saturday that we can watch on YouTube too.
Cool.
It's called Kamen Rider Z. It's about superhero who can travel to people's dreams when they were sleeping and help them to fight off their nightmares and monster who's trying to make their nightmare become real, and whatever they do in the dream world will affect the real locations in real life.
Right.
And you know why they call him Zed? So it's supposed to be like a wordplay from the ZZZ.
Oh, like the sleeps.
Yeah. When you're sleeping.
That's funny.
That's just something I am also catching up on too. Any other things you have found out in any other district of Tokyo? Maybe Shibuya?
We went to Shibuya and enjoyed the big crowds of people and all the billboards and all of that. I bought a pair of Onitsuka Tiger shoes.
Tiger shoe?
Onitsuka Tiger. It's a Japanese brand.
It's a Japanese brand.
Yeah.
Does it actually have tiger design on the shoes, or what design does it have?
Not the ones that I got. The ones they're just sneakers.
Okay.
My girlfriend bought a pair that has like flames on it, which look pretty cool.
I was just so it's kind of startled at me when I found so many people walking out of the station when I was in Shibuya.
Very busy.
I was on the... They have some walking bridge right on top of the main road. And they connect to the station entrance and exit. And just when people coming out, it was like you're in a Universal Studio or an amusement park. Right? But it's much quite like that. The people after people just coming rumbling at you like a wave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can even hear the footstep from a few distance away too.
Yeah, it's very busy. Thousands of people.
Just so surprised was such a busy city.
Mm-hmm.
The most of them are officers. Office man and woman too, I guess. They wear a suit and they carry suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you notice?
Yeah, lots of salary men walking around, for sure.
The billboard them is so big, and sometimes they play some 3D advertisement that look like some real cat or anime character reaching out to you. Too.
Yeah. Well, and like trucks driving around with billboards on them and like playing songs at you and all sorts of stuff. A real audiovisual extravaganza. Like, it was very overstimulating, for sure.
Yeah. You know, when I travel with my family, my mom was even kind of frightened.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that she felt like having some heat stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many people were there in the middle of the city. And just have to grab my hand all the time because she's afraid that she may fall over and people stab over her. So it's such a scary experience for her.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming,
but
for sure.
But she quite enjoyed that she found something new how it was like to be in a busy district in a very developed country.
Yeah, it's something that an experience that I like, the closest I can think of is being in New York City, and even that felt small compared to that experience.
Yeah, I've been to New York too. It's not as a visitor when people actually try working in sync with each other.
Yeah,
and in a wave that is gotta say that it's like a tidal wave.
Yeah, okay. You got to move with the flow for sure.
Did you come to Shinjuku too?
Very briefly. Like, we went, I saw the Godzilla head.
Yeah.
And we were there during the daytime, so most of the sort of, like, bars and clubs and everything were closed. But it wasn't really our speed. We walked around for half an hour, and then left and went back to Shibuya at that point.
Yeah, the Godzilla head. It's quite close to the station too.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You can actually come inside the building, come to the top floor, and actually touch the head.
Oh wow!
And when you touch it, it's gonna release some kind of stream.
Yeah, and we saw it do that from down below on the street, but I didn't realize you could go up and.
Oh okay. We put in a bucket list for you and also anyone who's planned to travel Japan then.
Yeah.
What about Ikebukuro?
I didn't go to Ikebukuro.
Or Nakano Station?
No, not that either. We were in Ginza, because that's where our second hotel was. So we walked around there, and where else did we go? We took a day trip down to Kamakura, which is down on the coast, just past Yokohama.
Okay.
We did a lot of walking around, so we sort of like walked from neighborhood to neighborhood a lot, and that was cool.
I just heard that if you're into clothing, Ikebukuro is a very famous fashion clothing district. And Nakano is has a huge ritual market place. In actually a real mall that sell a lot of ritual items. If you're into video games, maybe find some old console or old watch, phones, even wines actually.
Cool.
Yeah. What about Asakusa? Have you been there?
Yeah, so the first hotel we stayed in was right on the edge of Asakusa. And so yeah, we spent a bunch of time at Sensoji, the big shrine and the surrounding area as well, and in Kapabari, which is just sort of north of Asakusa.
Did they take your fortune telling?
Yeah, I got a bad fortune, but I tied it on the tree.
Supposed to. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Well, I just got moderate luck. I also met there were a group of travelers also right. In front of me, so we have to line up, and there were a group around 7 people, foreign traveler. They came to the shrine, also got their fortune, but they're kind of clueless about the procedure.
Right.
And I have to just kind of come up and guide them a little bit. I did my research, so I know. I know a little bit Japanese too, and. Gotta show them what they gotta do, and they pulled a straw, and they also got a bad luck. And also have to show them the tree where they have to hang on the bad lucks and wish for it to go away. It's just also like I would like to remind some foreign travelers to Japan that if this is just some experience that you should only go to if you're really interested in. You can learn something more about the Asian and Japanese cultures. But if you don't, maybe you can pass it on. It's not really matter. I just also don't like that foreigner just blocking the line and also making accommodation. They just kind of shouting at each other what they're supposed to do, and just tell, like, he looked around for some guidance paper, but they don't know Japanese, so.
Yeah, well, it's fun. Like, it took me was, like, I did a little bit of research ahead of time, too, and I knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's good advice, that if you're interested in it, you should do a little research. I found with a lot of things for the trip, it was really beneficial for me to have spent a little bit of time ahead of time reading about, you know, what the best way to do something was, what the appropriate way was to do something, what the right way to do certain things was, so that I could follow the procedures when I got there and do it all the right way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for my conversation with Min. We'll save Superman for another day. And we're just going to leave off with that exciting experimental instrumental, something completely different from the B-side of that Weed single. This is Turret. My first time hearing it. Maybe yours too, live on the radio here. Democracy Now! Is up next. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Speak Up. I'm Jesse. I'll be back next week for Fun Drive, which starts next week. Fun Drive. Fun Drive. Fun Drive.